الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذ بوأنا لإبراهيم مكان البيت ألا تشرك بي شيئا وطهر بيتي للطائفين والقائمين والركع السجود وأذن في الناس بالحج يأتوك رجالا وعلى كل ضامر يأتين من كل فج عميق ليشهدوا منافع لهم ويذكروا اسم الله في أيام معلومات على ما رزقهم من بهيمة الأنعام صدق الله العظيم وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيهن أحب إلى الله من هذه الأيام العشر قالوا ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله قال ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله إلا رجل خرج بنفسه وماله فلم يرجع منها بشيء أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام رواه البخاري Respected علماء اكرام elders, brothers and young ones in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Hazrat Maulana Mufti Taqi Usmani, Damat Barakatuhum, says that these few months that we are passing through, that is from when the moon of Ramadan is sighted, till after that when the moon of Shawwal is sighted, these are actually the spiritual high season of the Islamic calendar. Now when it comes to high seasons, we all understand the end of the year from an economic, from a financial perspective, all of us are preparing for the busy season. So Hazrat Mufti Sahib says that this is that busy season that we are passing through. Because first it was Ramadan and we know the virtues and the blessings of the month of Ramadan. But from the moment the moon is sighted, from the day of Eid, the ulama explained that Al-Hajju Ashhurum Ma'lumat. Literally from that point in time, the days of Hajj start. So indeed we are in very, very blessed days. And if we look at this hadith that I recited in the beginning in the khutbah, Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there are no other days in which good deeds are more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. These days that we are in. Today is the 3rd of Dhul Hijjah. And in one hadith, the following is mentioned that تَعْدِلُ صِيَامُ كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ مِّنْهَا صِيَامُ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِّنْهَا بِصِيَامِ الدَّهْرِ Fasting on any one of these days, that is obviously from the 1st till the 9th, is equivalent to fasting 1 year. وَقِيَامُ كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ مِّنْهَا بِقِيَامِ لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ And standing in submission, in humility, in the ibadah, in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on any of the nights of these ten nights of Dhul Hijjah, is like standing on the night of Laylatul Qadr. So there is no need to also search for that reward of Laylatul Qadr when it comes to these nights. So indeed the blessings, the rewards are huge, they are immense. But if we have to ponder that why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every now and again, there is a special season that comes about. There is a special time in which we have the ability, we have the opportunity, we are granted special blessings, special mercies from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then perhaps it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us. It is just like one is driving on a highway and every now and again there are signs to remind us that where is our actual journey. Because our actual journey is towards the Akhirah. Our actual journey is towards the Akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that don't forget to draw from this time that you have in the dunya for your Akhirah. Because otherwise if you don't do that, then you will have to say, Ya laytani qaddamtu li hayati. Ya laytani qaddamtu li hayati. Oh, how I wish I sent something forth for my life. Which life? The life of the hereafter. So this is like those signboards that come to remind us, because man's condition is such, a poet has put it very beautifully, that nazar su qadam su e marqad nazar su e dunya qadam su e marqad nazar su e dunya. Your feet are walking towards the qabr, but our eyesight is looking towards the dunya. Kidhar ja raha hai, kidhar dekh raha hai. Where are you going and where are you looking? Where are we going and where are we looking? So this is that time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity to draw from His treasures, to draw abundantly from these great days. Now if we have to analyze, there is so much that can be spoken about these days. But in the ayat that I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes reference to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. He says, وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ أَلَّا تُشْرِكْ بِي شَيْئًا. That this whole period of the Hajj, the Qurbani, in reality, it is a celebration of the legacy of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Now, let us reflect for a moment, what was this legacy of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam? And the Qur'an Kareem very explicitly mentions and clarifies a very important point. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was neither from the Yahud, as the Yahud tried to claim. He was neither from the Jews, وَمَا كَانَ نَصْرَانِيًّا, and neither was he from the Christians. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. What was his legacy? كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. He was that person who had shunned and turned away from all false deities, all false gods and idols and things of worship, to the worship of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then very beautifully the Quran-e-Kareem goes on to say, and this is something for us to reflect upon, because unfortunately, whilst we may recite the Quran, paras upon paras, which is a very great blessing in itself, but how much of time do we take back to sit and think over the ayat of the Qur'an? So let us think over this ayat of the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِإِبْرَاهِيمِ لَلَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ. Those who are most worthy to proclaim their attachment, to proclaim that they are from the creed, and they uphold the legacy of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, لَلَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ, are those who follow him. وَهَذَا النَّبِي, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this Nabi, in other words, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and you and I, the believers. So this is the legacy of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, which has been entrusted to us. But if we have to analyze it deeply, what do we mean when we say the legacy of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam? Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains this to us in detail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the 19th juz of the Qur'an al-Kareem, He commands Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted us to follow that legacy of Ibrahim. So He tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Recite to them and inform them of the news or the story, the information with regards to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. He was at a time, like in our day and age, we face certain challenges. We face the challenges of the society. He was living in an age where he faced certain challenges. So he asked his people, what was that challenge? The Quran Kareem says, إِذْ قَالَ لِأَبِيهِ وَقَوْمِهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. He said to his father, his very father, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. What are you worshipping? What are these idols that you are worshipping? So they answered, قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ أَصْنَامًا فَنَظَلُّ لَهَا عَاكِفِينَ. They said, well, we are worshipping our idols, and we will continue to remain dedicated and observant of these idols. We will continue to remain dedicated in their ibadat. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam says, they said, نَظَلُّ لَهَا عَاكِفِينَ. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam asked them, that what is the basis? Why are you worshipping these idols? So like a person who hasn't got any answer, any proper answer, because Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, before that he asked them, قَالَ هَلْ يَسْمَعُونَكُمْ إِذْ تَدْعُونَ أَوْ يَنْفَعُونَكُمْ أَوْ يَضُرُّونَ. Do they listen to you when you call out? Or do they benefit you or cause you any harm? Obviously, there was no answer that they could give to this question. So they said, بَلْ وَجَدْنَا آبَاءَنَا كَذَلِكَ يَفْعَلُونَ. Now we found our fathers doing the same thing, so we're carrying on the same light. So basically they had no good explanation for what they were doing. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam says that فَإِنَّهُمْ عَدُوُّ لِّي إِلَّا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And this is the point. This is what I want to try and highlight here. That what is that creed of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam? He said, these idols that you are worshipping, إِنَّهُمْ عَدُوُّ لِّي. I regard them as my enemy. And my creator, my sustainer, my worship is reserved for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَهُوَ يَهْدِينَ. Because it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who created me and then He guided me. The guidance is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ. And when it comes to my sustenance, then it is that very same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gives me my sustenance. And this again has become a really pressing issue of the time. Because if we look at it, let us reflect over our own lives, then perhaps 90% of the day goes in worrying about how we are going to achieve our sustenance, our daily sustenance. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so clearly in the Quran Kareem, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Let alone human beings. Dabba, أي الشيء الذي يدب. There is nothing that crawls on the surface of the earth إلا على الله رزقها. Except it is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word ala in Arabic is a very strong word. That means it is the duty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it upon Himself to provide the sustenance for that creature. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam says, الَّذِي خَلَقَنِي فَوَ يَهْدِينَ وَالَّذِي يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينَ وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. And when I get sick also, then He is the one who cures me. I don't have any other beliefs, any other superstitions, any other corrupt thoughts that if I do this and if I do that, وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينَ. And my very life and death is in His hands. وَالَّذِي أَطْمَعُ أَن يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينَ. And He is the one who I have hope that even not only in this world He is going to be of my benefit, but أَطْمَعُ أَن يَغْفِرَ لِي خَطِيئَتِي يَوْمَ الدِّينَ. On the day that I leave this world and I have to stand before Him, then I have full hope that He will forgive my sins. So when we reflect over these ayat, some of us may feel that, well, this was that time. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam asked them that, ma ta'budun, what were you worshipping? And they said, well, we're worshipping idols. Na'budu asnaman. So how is this relevant to us today? Well, if we have to reflect over it correctly, the Quran will be relevant for all times to come. It is upon us to reflect. Inna fi dhalika la ayatin liqawmi yatafakkarun. We need to ponder, sit down, and reflect over the verses of the Qur'an Kareem. Those very idols are present with us today. For some of us, it is the idols of our businesses. The idols of our businesses, that we are prepared to sacrifice the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to ensuring that our businesses progress. And we feel that in this manner we will progress. For some of us, those idols are those illicit love relationships that we have. And this is that test that unfortunately it has become a scourge of the time. And Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, he addressed us one day and he said that, let me tell you, if you want to know my 70 years experience, I will tell you. 70 years of striving to be in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, in today's day and age, fulfill the wajibat, fulfill the fara'is and the sunnat and muakkida, and restrain yourself from this particular sin, the sin of illicit woman. So indeed, that idol is still there today. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Furqan, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. Have you seen that man or that person who has taken his desires as his Lord? Because it is the same thing. In those days, they worshipped the idols. In today's day and age, we are worshipping our desires. So for some of us, the desires, or for some of us, that idol is our business. For others, it is that illicit relationship that we are in, or those evil actions that we are engaged in. And for yet others, it is this ego of ours. It is this ego that I am something. I am something. But in our deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, has taught us, that this is a very, very salient feature of deen. And we're talking about this legacy, this creed of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. What was it that stood out in him? It was his absolute submission and humility before the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the creed of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the legacy. This is what these days are for, to remind us of where we are heading. Where we are heading. And to shun the worship, to shun getting caught up and getting tied up in the worship of these other idols that exist in today's day and age. And for yet others, this worship of this of these idols take place in the form of our absolute passion over entertainment. Obviously, if it is halal entertainment, then that is mubah, it is permissible, there is no harm. But when we place that over and above the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we place the fulfillment of our desires and the fulfillment or achieving that entertainment over the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we are indeed in great folly. Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum says very, very beautifully. He says, Fida unki marzi pe apni raza kar. And this is it. This is the message. This is the golden message of this time. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to when he says, Inna awla an-nasi bi Ibrahim. The most worthy people to say that they are following the legacy of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam are those people. What does he say? Hazrat says that Fida unki marzi pe apni raza kar. Sacrifice your riza, your happiness for what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's happiness. And what will be the result of that? Faqiri mein dekhega sultaniya hai. You'll see that whilst apparently you may be in adversity and difficulty, but in reality you will experience what a king experiences. Faqiri mein dekhega sultaniya hai. And then Hazrat says very beautifully, Tere haath se zere ta'meer hu main. Tere haath se zere ta'meer hu main. Mubarak mujhe meri veeraniya hai. Because when that person puts that knife on his desires, and that blood of the desire spills, there will be destruction. It will be like that place that has been shaken up by an earthquake. So what does the government announce then? The government announces that this is a disaster zone. There is a state of emergency, and therefore this area here will be rebuilt with the government's funds. So as it says, Tere haath se zere ta'meer hu main. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after sacrificing my desires for your pleasure, after blasting my desires to smithereens, what happens then? Then I will be declared an emergency area. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith al-Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that ana inda munkasiratil qulub, I am with those people whose hearts have been broken. So then Hazrat says that mubarak mujhe meri viraniya hai. Then that type of destruction, that type of annihilation, and that type of barrenness, let it be mubarak. That emptiness, that difficulty, that pain that I feel in my heart at that time, when I sacrifice my desires to implement the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then mubarak mujhe meri veeraniya hai. That loneliness, mubarak upon that loneliness. Then Hazrat says that after that what happens? After we have done that, after that development process starts, after it's been declared a destroyed zone, an area of emergency, Hazrat says that yakhune tamanna ka in'am dekho. Yakhune tamanna ka in'am dekho. Jo veeraniya thi wo abadiya hai. That look at the reward of this blood of the desires. When it has been sacrificed for the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. Jo veeraniya thi wo abadiya hai. That loneliness, that barrenness that was there, that existed within, After smashing those desires, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَآبَادِيَاهَا هَيْ. They have become inhabited with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have become inhabited with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is what we are talking about. When we are talking about the creed or the way of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, we are talking about shunning those false deities within us, in whatever form they may exist. And that is why these actions of the day of this month of Dhul Hijjah have been ordained upon us. Because, as Hazrat Mufti Taqi Sahib Daman Barakatum says, that Islam rasmi karwaiyon se balatar hai. Islam is not a deen that focuses on the fulfillment of some rituals. No. Islam wants us to become part and parcel of whatever we are doing. That is why the spirit of Qurbani, we carry it out ourselves. So that we experience what it was that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. Hazrat says very, very beautifully again, another couplet comes to mind, that yehe ishq mein hai imtihan kis bashar ka. Just look at which person is being tried and tested in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bana hai zabiha jo apne pisar ka. His very own son, his beloved son, he's being required to sacrifice for the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pidar se hai ijaz e qalb o jigar ka. The father has to sacrifice and put the knife over that love that he has in the depths of his heart for his son. Pisar se hai ijaz e taslim e sar ka. And the son says, Ya abati f'al ma tu'mar, satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. Oh, my beloved father. Look at how he addresses his father even at that stage. Father is telling him that I have to slaughter you. So he says, oh, my beloved father, if alma tu'mar, do whatever you have been commanded to do. Satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. So then Hazrat says very, very beautifully, tere hukm par kya gawara nahi hai. Oh Allah, what action cannot be carried out for your sake? Which action is there that cannot be carried out for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why? Because tujhse barkar koi pyara nahi hai. Because this is the lesson that no one, nothing, no one, no thing, no object is more beloved to us than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why this is the lesson of this Qurbani, that we say that it is something that is a physical thing, it is something that we get involved in. And again, this is emphasized by the ayat of the Quran Kareem, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَن يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَاكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. This qurbani that we are doing, it is not, the objective is not the meat. And we heard Hazrat Maulana rahmatullah alayh, Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahib rahmatullah alayh saying many, many times from this minbar, that it is not the meat that is the objective. وَلَاكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. It is that condition of your heart, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see, that how you take lesson from this qurbani that you are going to do. And another verse of both Hazrat Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, my Shaykh, says that na tera dil na teri jaan chahiye. Na tera dil na teri jaan chahiye. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want your things. He doesn't want your life. What does He want? Unko tujhse khune arman chahiye. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the blood of your haram desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants the blood of our haram desires. Then we can say, yes, indeed, we are following the creed of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, and we have implemented the teachings of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. The Quran Kareem says very beautifully, وَمَن يَرْغَبُ عَن مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِلَّا مَن سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ. Only a fool will turn away from the creed and from the way and the lifestyle of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. So this is a very, very important lesson to take home from this important period. In the last few minutes, in these days, there are many, many ibadat that are peculiar, that are special for these days. Obviously, for those that have gone for Hajj, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the Hajj. But there are certain ibadat that we here can carry out in our own locations. Number one, Hazrat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has promised, as I mentioned in the beginning, that the fasting on these days is very, very virtuous. But specifically, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us about the virtue of fasting on the day of Arafah. And the Sahaba say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Sawmu yawmi arafa yukaffiru sanata allati qablaha wa sanata allati ba'daha. It expiates a person's sins 1 year back and 1 year forward. Now some people would say, oh, that means that I can fast this day and after that do whatever I have to do. No. This is a misconception. What the ulama explain is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants a person the ability to keep this fast in the correct manner, then He will also grant him the tawfiq to stay close to Him and to follow and do those actions that will only earn His pleasure. So this is the one aspect that we can take heed of. The second important ibadat that we can carry out here is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has promised, and not only promised, He has made wajib. He says that Jannat becomes wajib for the person who stays awake in ibadat on 5 nights. And those, from among those 5 nights, 3 nights are in this next few days that are going to be coming. Laylatul Tarwiyah, the night of the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, wa Laylatul Arafah, the night of the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, wa Laylatul Adha, and the night of Eidul Adha. So these, the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th, the nights of Dhul Hijjah, these are very, very auspicious nights. And we should try, especially if we can't do any ibadah in all the other days, especially in these 3 days. And if not that, then at least let us refrain from any sins. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with this niyat, if we do it, inshallah, we'll get the reward of ibadah also. He told us, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that Ya Abu Huraira, ittaqil maharim takun a'bada an-nas. O Abu Huraira, stay away from sins and you will be the greatest worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the second special action that we can engage in these days. And thirdly, we know that these days of Dhul-Hijjah, that takbiratul tashriq that will start from the morning of the 9th, after from Fajr of the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah till Asr on the 13th of Dhul-Hijjah, Sahaba say that on the days of Dhul-Hijjah, this takbir, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd, this takbir used to echo in the streets of Medina. So these are those days where we must proclaim the greatness and we should feel it. We should do it with a sense of conviction, with a sense of zeal. So much so that the ulama say that even the ladies at home, they should recite it in their homes. Because often they forget to recite it, so they can place some sort of reminder near the place where they perform their salah. Nevertheless, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to take in full and take full benefit from these days that are coming. May He accept the upcoming Hajj of the Hujjaj. May He give us the tawfiq to become His true friends, and may He remove the difficulties, the hardships, and the calamities facing the Ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.